Warning, the views and opinions expressed on the show are those and solely those of the hosts and in no way represent the station from which they broadcast from, nor the DJs with whom they work with.
Alrighty then.
But by listening, you will be enlightened by a different brand of useless information.
Bazinga.
And very modest hilarity.
And that's the bottom line.
It's time to hear from the other guys.
I am a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
What's up, everybody?
Woo!
Thank you again for tuning in to this week's episode of The Other Guys Podcast. Once again, it's just me, Baby Huey, and sitting across from me, I like to call him my personal advocate, the one and only Bimbo Jimbo.
Ladies and gentlemen, I never agreed to be your advocate.
Why not?
My name is Bimbo Jimbo.
Thank you. I am your beast incarnate.
And he is your baby incarnate.
That's right.
D and all.
That's right. So thank you again, everyone, once again for tuning in. Yeah, like I just mentioned earlier, even last week's episode, it was just Jimbo and I. And yeah, we're out here once again, just the two of us. Chasta's still out being a brand new mommy. I think it's technically week number three.
Is it really?
I think so. Coming up, or it's actually, I think we're coming up on a, well, let's see. We're recording on July 14th. The baby was born June 23rd. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It's 3 weeks today.
Time flies. 3 weeks today.
Yes.
And we also went to Starbird Chicken, which we are remiss for not giving a shout out on the last podcast.
That's
but,
right.
Big thank you to Rob of Starbird Chicken, who used to be my boss over at Pacific Catch on 9th Avenue. But Huey and I went down there after we saw the lovely Chasta, Jay, and their lovely baby.
Yes.
To get some chicken nirvana on in our life. And Rob and his cohort, Billy, they hooked it up. I mean, they brought out everything on the menu.
Yes. Literally, we went in there just like, oh, maybe we'll try an item or two. But then, yeah, we met up with him, and he took us outside and literally was like brought us like one of everything from the menu.
All insanely delicious. It was tremendous.
I cannot stress enough how good that was. It was so yummy.
It's been 3 weeks. We can go back.
That's true. Yeah, we want to make the trip down there.
I would love to. Okay. I'm hungry right now.
I know. So it's in Sunnyvale right off El Camino Real. Mm-hmm. So look them up online. Starbird Chicken is their website. Wait, is it starbirdchicken.com? I think it's the website. I think so. It's
yeah, starbirdchicken.com is the website.
And get the app as well.
Get the Starbird app. Positively delicious chicken, I can attest to that. And their desserts too, the drumsticks that they have
there,
the ice cream's so good.
Well, the chicken tenders with was it the soul sauce? The and that was so good. And then it was pretty much like a waffle. No,
they had the waffle sticks, which you can do for breakfast or dessert.
Yes, and then the ice cream. We had the ice cream like in a cone.
Yeah, the drumstick.
Oh,
yeah,
so good. Oh man, now you're making me think about that. Oh, so good. That was a tough drive back home, or to drop you off.
Because very full.
We were full, and getting a little sleepy. It was just, but yeah, totally worth it. So yeah, we got to make another trip down there. So, but yeah, once again, it's I like this. Jimbo and I, you and I, just hanging out here in the studio. It's it feels a little weird without the other half of the other guys not here. But hey, we got to keep this baby going. And yeah, Chasta's
got to keep her baby going.
That's right. And actually, Joe Hawk, you know where he's at right now, right?
Is he getting his cheesesteak on?
I don't know if it's tonight exactly, but I knew. Yeah, yesterday he flew out to Philadelphia once again. Which was he just there?
He was just
a few
there
months ago, and like
interesting.
Yeah, so he's
getting pretty serious.
It is pretty serious. So yeah, he's in Philadelphia right now. I guess his girlfriend's sister is having a wedding, so he's going to be gone for all weekend. And yeah,
pity the open bar tab at that wedding.
I know. He's probably like, all right, let's get this party started.
Drink him dry.
I know. It's a celebration.
It's quite a dowry that the father of the bride signed up for. He didn't even know.
I know. If they ever get married, new tradition, the groom's side of the family has to pay for everything.
At least for the bar tab.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, he's going to be gone all weekend, and then he's going to be gone next week as well. He's going on some family vacation. So, it's going to be pretty. He's going to be missing quite a few episodes. So, it's all good. You and I can hold down the fort. You and I have a. And to correct myself, last week I said, "Oh, I think this is the first time you and I doing an episode together."
Yeah, we've done plenty of stuff together.
That's right. So sorry, I was not thinking straight. It was a long day, like it is right now, recording this late in the afternoon for me. So I'm a little tired. So, but no, we have a lot of fun stuff to talk about. But Jimbo, first off, I'm surprised you made it in here. You weren't outside on the sidewalk playing Pokemon Go.
I you know, work comes first, you know. Okay. as much as you may think I'm an avid Poke hunter, I do play Pokemon Go. It is my duty to the nerdosphere to play Pokemon Go.
So you've been playing it?
Yes, not as obsessively as perhaps other people that actually are playing at work, walking around the station looking for Pokemon. Must be nice to be that secure in your job that you can do that, but I am not, so I don't do that. But I do play it on my way to work, which is great, because one of the things that they talk about is like, oh, you know, it's getting nerds active and out of the house and stuff like that. I will not be duped into physical activity. I play it on the Muni, so it thinks I'm walking very briskly, I might add, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, think about that. You could ride like a moped or something, or...
Yeah, that'd be a little bit more dangerous. The Muni doing all the driving for you and everything like that. And also has the stops, so like if it stops in a nice little sweet spot with a rare Pokemon like it did the other day for me... I gotta be honest, I don't really know much about Pokemon. It was never my thing. My own,
okay.
Pokemon, like the main thing, like in high school, some of my friends, they didn't play the Pokemon card game. They would steal Pokemon cards from the underclassmen that did play the Pokemon card game and then would sell them to other underclassmen that also played. Yeah, it was pretty shady. I'm looking at you, Oscar.
Oh,
it was very messed up.
So, wow, that's a new, is that the new?
I think the statute of limitations on robbery has worn out by this time.
21st century version of stealing your lunch money.
I guess, yeah.
Wait, okay, so time out. Like, I know, first off, where did this whole phenomenon come in the last week? Like, did this app just get released last week or something and that, like, everyone just started downloading it?
I mean, yeah, like, it just came out.
And so everyone started downloading and just word of mouth, it just turned into this whole craze? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, so they've been hyping the release of it. Like, okay. I talked about on the Best Damn Nerd Show a few months ago. About that it was coming out. It sounded like one of those things. I was like, dude, this sounds like it's going to be awesome. Like, you know, like any like a VR, like Pokemon kind of deal. Sounds just like really cool that like you're going to like find Pokemon in the real world. Like, and I'm not even into Pokemon. And like I watched the video. I was like, dude, this sounds freaking awesome. Like, it just sounds like a really cool idea, and I was kind of wondering what the execution would be like, but it's caught on like wildfire.
I know. Well, and then here's my other
thing. You sound so strained and distressed about something popular.
But wait,
you know, if I wish people could see your face, you seem so just upset that people are happy.
No, okay. First off, when was Pokemon originally huge? Was that in the 90s, early 2000s? I couldn't remember.
90s.
It was 90s.
Yeah, I think the original Pokemon, I think, came out in 95 or 96.
And was it? It was
and
just
then
a card game.
I think
game.
It got really popular in like 98. No, it was. I believe it was a Game Boy game first.
Because, see, I couldn't remember. Because, like, I mean, you know, there's so many things in the 90s that, you know, we experienced. And I was, like, thinking, okay, I remember Pogs were really cool in the early 90s. And then, I mean, I was trying to think, did I ever get into Pokemon? Like, was it a cartoon? Or am I just thinking of Dragon Ball Z?
They've had cartoons. They've had, Dragon Ball Z was a cartoon. But so it had card game, cartoons. But what I think its most popular iteration was the Game Boy game.
And so with the Game Boy game, was that just... Like, what is the point of Pokemon? Are you some, like, hunter that's trying to find these little animals?
You're a trainer. You're not really. I call it a hunter. It's really, you're a trainer.
Okay.
I did ever play the Game Boy game.
Okay.
Which may be surprising. Along with my not liking Power Rangers is one of the more surprising things about my nerddom.
You don't like Power Rangers?
No.
Oh, my God.
I liked G.I. Joe and Transformers. I liked actually cool shows.
Oh, my God.
But, so, yeah, I never really got into Pokemon, but that's what it was about. So you capture these Pokemon, you train them up, and you, like, battle with other Pokemon and stuff like that. I actually haven't done any battling on Pokemon Go yet. I've just been sort of collecting on my way to work and, like, and then, you know, on my way back, and I don't really do anything other than that.
So what do you do? Like, okay, explain to me this game, because, like, I'm thinking of maybe downloading and try to play it. Do I need to have experience beforehand of, like, not previous knowledge of the video game you're talking about or the card game, or is it something I could just pick up and play with right away?
You can just pick it up and play it right away. There's a tutorial and everything like that that'll take you through it. It's easy.
So if you see a little animal, you just throw like a little red ball, red white ball at it.
Yeah. So when you're playing it,
please explain to me, Jimbo.
It's really like the one thing I will say. It's like if you're worried about people just staring at their phone screens before, like this is like. When you're going along, you have your little VR character walking along and everything like that. You'll see like a Pokemon appear. You can click on it and it takes you into like an altered reality thing on your phone where it'll be this studio. And like on my phone, it looks like your camera. So I'll be seeing everything in the studio and I'll be seeing baby Huey, but there'll be like a Pidgeotto, like sitting on Huey's head, like taking a dump or something like that. And I can throw I could throw like the Pokeball at it and capture it.
So it's like Roddy Piper. In they live with the sunglasses,
sort of, yeah, if that helps you.
It changes the reality.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so the reason it's just I noticed, like, I've been driving home lately and I see just a group of people walking around staring at their phones, and they're just standing there making like this hand gesture or motion on their phone, and I figure, oh, they must be playing Pokemon. But like yesterday I went for a really long walk with Tinelli. And we saw a bunch of tourists down at Pier 39 all staring at their phone. And I was joking with Paul, and I was like, man, I can easily just snatch that person's phone and run off. Like, they would not even know what's going on. Like, they're so into their phone. They're not noticing the beautiful scenery around here and all that good stuff. I'm like, wake up, people. But I will admit, the only...
Hater.
I'll be a hater. But the only positive thing is... It's getting people out of the house and walking around. That's my only thing I'm thinking, like, okay, this is a good thing.
What you think? I play on Muni.
I know, you're cheating the system.
I am, absolutely.
But I don't know, if it's just coworkers here, like you said, are taking breaks and going around playing here. Some of the interns here are like, hey, you want to play Pokemon with me? I'm like, no, I'm a grown-ass man.
Well,
I got work to do.
Huey.
I got work to do.
Huey. Nothing wrong with being a grown-ass man and playing Pokemon Go.
But I was like, what do you get out of this? What do you earn? Like,
it's a game. What do you earn by playing any game?
Do you not like
games?
I've never been a huge gamer. I will admit that.
Not just by like playing any games, like board games, card games, any game.
Bragging rights?
I guess. I mean, so yeah, you get like a super rare Pokemon. You can kick some people's asses in the Poke Gyms. You know, it's like, yeah.
Poke Gyms?
Yeah, it's where you like do battle, I think. I haven't actually done it yet.
Okay, so. Not like working out.
No. Like, nerds, we don't go to the gym for that. We only go to train our Pokemon.
Yes, okay. Well, I don't know. I just don't get it. Like I said, maybe I'll download it and just test it out.
You're going to get hooked on it. I already know it.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. You're going to be walking around, your Pokeballs hanging out. You're gonna be so hooked.
I'll poke you with my balls.
I don't know how that works. They're not pointy. They're round.
And bounce them off you. Is that how it
works? Yeah, that'd be better.
I don't know. So I figured this is going to be an ongoing thing. Did you notice? I don't know if you read... Nintendo's stock went up $7.5 billion. Like, was it 30% or something like that?
Yeah.
And continuing. Yeah, absolutely. So with this, is the app free?
Yes.
Oh, man, so must be all the advertising they have on there. But I'm just thinking with that, and did you hear, just kind of breaking news, today Nintendo announced that they're going to be re-releasing the original Nintendo system made for HD TVs with HDMI inputs. And 30 games built into it. So it's like a little replica of the original console. And so I saw it. I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. Like, I can't wait to get it. But it doesn't come out till November. But I'm totally going to buy that.
Yeah, no, that sounds super exciting. The only thing I'll say is it better be cheap.
Because
like Sega Genesis did that a couple years ago, yeah. And that was awesome. That was cheap. But the thing is,
I think Atari did something similar. We have something at home with like Mrs. Pac-Man and all that stuff.
But the thing is, like, if it's not cheap, then what's the point? Because I can get any Nintendo game I want on my laptop right now and play it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's very easy to get emulators of Nintendo games. Like, the experience is best when it's like on your TV, yeah. Though, and like with the controller in your hand and everything like that. So it's worth it to a certain point, Nintendo. So don't try and screw us over.
Absolutely.
And it better come with Legend of Zelda, Mike Tyson's Punch Out, Pirates, Excitebike.
Games. Well, I know it definitely has Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr., Mario. Oh, man, I should have printed out the list. I didn't even think of it. I was reading over it, but I didn't memorize everything. So, wait, you said Zelda? Legend of Zelda. Okay, let me see. I got it right here. I'm trying my best to fill time. But so, any other games that you would really want on there? Let's see. Let's see. He's got Mega Man, got Mario Brothers. It does have Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
All right.
Does it have pirates?
No pirates. Just Pac-Man, Punch-Out.
Okay, Punch-Out's good.
It's got Legend of Zelda and Zelda 2, Super Mario Brothers 1 through 3. Wow. Let's see. Ice Climber, Final Fantasy. Wow. Double Dragon, yes, and Donkey Kong.
Double Dragon's great game.
Oh, man, it's got a bunch of stuff. So I can't wait to get it. So it doesn't come out till November 11th. So, Jimbo, if you're trying to think of something for my birthday, you know, just FYI, my birthday's 3 days later after that. So just in case you need a reminder.
I'll make a note of that.
Yeah. Right, and put it in your calendar.
But Subway gift card.
Yes.
I'll get you Pokemon Go for your birthday.
Oh, great. Yeah, whatever.
But, spent a lot on that.
So I know.
It's the thought that counts.
All right, so now we can get back into the original lineup of today's podcast I had scheduled, but because of the whole Pokemon phenomenon, I figured we had to go off with that. So going back to the intro, the reason I called you my advocate was UFC 200 is fresh on our minds still. Jimbo, you survived the weekend okay?
I did, yes.
Okay.
It was a great weekend.
So, yeah, this past Saturday, you and I, along with a bunch of our fellow KNBR co-workers.
It was the Ted Ramey UFC 200 watch party. Hashtag UFC Ted 100 was the engaging social media post.
And we
for
got
that
working
event.
On Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
It's
had it
showing
on.
Up. But, yeah, so this past Saturday, we watched UFC 200 at Dave & Buster's in Milpitas, which it was fun. It's only been my second time there, but it was a good time had by all. So thank you, Jimbo, for extending the invite and having me attend it. And it was good hanging out with you guys outside
of
work.
Yeah, it was great. Always. It was a really awesome event, too. And I was so proud of Ted.
Yes.
The attendance was great. The spread was awesome. Free drinks, free food. Thanks to Dave & Buster's. Didn't play a single game at
me
Dave
neither.
& Buster's. Which, I mean, because there was the whole thing is like it didn't really need, and no offense, Dave & Buster's, because the food and the drinks were great. It didn't really need to be there because there's no time for games because there were so many great fights. UFC 200 was such a stacked card and was just, you know, everyone's attention was rightfully on that.
Yeah.
So there was no time to play the deal or no deal game like I'd hoped. But
I wanted to play Wheel of Fortune. I saw that there. And I think there was some like old Street Fighter games or something like that.
Oh, yeah. They got it all.
Yeah. But also thank you to Metro PCS for hooking it up as well. So Jimbo, just your we don't spend too much time on, but just want your reaction of the UFC 200 pay-per-view.
I thought, it, you know, for a card that got hit with such a big suspension just days before the event, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It would have been the greatest UFC event ever if Cormier and Jon Jones had happened. I mean, it was such like a big, hyped fight. But I thought it was great. Brock Lesnar, I thought, stole the show.
Yes.
His return after a 5-year hiatus to the octagon.
Yeah.
And he acquitted himself so well. He didn't get a knockout.
Yeah.
But Mark Hunt is such a tough bastard that
really?
it was, yeah, oh yeah.
But is he at the bottom of the top 10 heavyweights?
He's number 8 contender in the world. Well, yeah. Was until Brock beat him. That's still, he's still doing well, and he's a knockout specialist. He's a tough guy. He's a really tough guy. Well, it sounds like you're kind of knocking him here.
Well, no,
it was not a tomato can fight. Don't believe what any maybe more of a boxing enthusiast might tell you or anything like that.
No boxing enthusiast told me that.
No, this was a legit fight with a legit, honestly, a lot of people saying it was a bad matchup for Brock. Because the one knock on, if there is a knock on Brock Lesnar, is that, oh, maybe he doesn't really like to get hit.
Yes.
And, you know, Mark Hunt is a guy, that SOB, he can hit you. And he can hit you hard, and he will knock your ass out. So I thought Brock did so well. He was taking him down. Two of the three fights, Brock absolutely, or two of the three rounds, I should say, Brock absolutely dominated Mark Hunt. The second round, credit Mark Hunt. He was defending Brock's takedowns, but couldn't get any offense in. I mean, Brock took like one shot because his eye was swollen up, but it was great to see Brock Lesnar back in the octagon doing his thing.
Yes.
His post-fight speech was great. His post-fight press conference was hilarious because he referenced back to the whole Bud Light, Coors Light thing. I don't know. For those of you listening that don't remember, UFC 100, the biggest event in UFC history, which Brock Lesnar main evented and beat Frank Mir. One of the things was in his post-fight press conference, Brock was not too far removed from his WWE days, so he still was... He was very much so in full heel mode because the crowd was booing him. And so Brock live on UFC 100 goes, and Bud Light was one of the major sponsors and still is a sponsor of UFC, but Bud Light was like the biggest sponsor UFC had at the UFC 100. He goes, I'm going to go home. I'm going to drink a Coors Light because Bud Light won't pay me nothing. And then he said he's going to go lay on top of his wife.
Beautiful Sable.
Yes. So he dropped this Coors Light line. Of course, Dana White, apparently, like, according to legend, gave him a huge tongue lashing, like, backstage, like,
oh, really?
About it. And Brock had to apologize then in the post-fight press conference. So then fast forward to UFC 200.
Okay.
All these years later, Brock Lesnar's giving his post-fight press conference. He goes, yeah, one more question. I got to go home and drink a Coors Light. I mean, a Bud Light.
Oh, what, really?
Yeah. So he caught him. He was making light of it. It was great. So
nice. Well, I will say this. Okay, one thing I was a little disappointed. One, I thought he was going to come out to his WWE theme song.
Yeah, everything had been reported that was going to be the case,
but
too.
He came out to Metallica's Inner Sandman, which, hey, it's still cool. It's Metallica. It's cool to see that he's a rocker. Two, I was just a little bummed. Okay, I get it. He lives in Canada now. So, but when they showed his name on the screen, he had the Canadian flag with it. And I'm like, okay, wait, dude, you're American. Like,
yeah, he wants to rep Canada right now. It's where he lives. Well, I'm fine with that.
Okay,
he's North American.
So does he identify himself as a Canadian now?
I think right now, yeah, because that's where he's living.
So, okay.
So he's probably got dual citizenship going on.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I was just kind of like, really?
I mean, yeah, I'd love it for Brock to be repping the red, white, and blue and stuff like that. But I can't hate, though, because he's been living in Canada for a while there, and that's where his heart is right now.
Okay. All right. But, and
like
then
Wolverine.
That's right. But third, I was bummed that Paul Heyman did not walk him out to the ring.
I never thought that was going to happen.
Come on. That would have been hilarious and, like, awesome. I think it would just been like a nice wink to the fans watching, because even they had the SummerSlam commercial running through the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I didn't expect or think that they should have Paul Heyman there. I mean, I would love it if Paul Heyman was, like, sitting front row or anything like that. But
with Undertaker, too. That would have been awesome.
Brock, like this is a real fight. Brock's got a lock-in, no distractions, like, WWE thing. Like, he's going in there to fight with another large human being. Like, like no joke, like, kind of deal. So I understood why that didn't happen.
Okay.
But it was great to see him do it. He's going to do it again. I think he is going to be heavyweight champion again at the UFC.
Really?
Yes.
See, I'm thinking he might just take it easy.
I think he's got the itch back.
Okay. See, well, that's what I wanted to ask you was, okay, I know it's been a long time since he's wrestled, but his style, he has a wrestling background. So he's more known for, like, trying to dodge swings at him and more just grapple and take the guy down, correct? And try to apply some form of a submission, or is that kind of like his
Brock's style of win was takedown, ground and pound.
Takedown, ground and pound. Okay.
Yeah. And because he is so big and his hands are gigantic that he can get somebody down, get on top of them, and then just beat their ever-loving brains out.
Okay.
Which is what he was doing to Mark Hunt. But Mark Hunt, as Brock said in the post-fight press conference, he's got a head like a coconut. So, like, you know, that he would have knocked out most fighters, especially in that third round with the ground and pound. But credit to Mark Hunt, he hung in there.
Well, do you think, okay, because the reason I'm getting at is I thought he did a good job of his strategy. Like, watching the fight, it was not the most sexy fight as far as, like, two guys standing there fighting. It was a lot of time on the ground.
Yeah. So,
but I was trying to, like, man, this seems a little bit boring as far as he's just laying on top of him. But Kolsky pointed out, well, think about it. Like, you have this huge man laying on top of you and, like, just trying to get as many punches in on the side of his face. That definitely weighs a toll on you. I mean, it doesn't look like it's an intense, you know, two guys standing going at it, but it's definitely, what's the word I'm trying to think of? You know, it's just,
dude, Brock was landing some heavy blows there. Like,
yes.
I didn't think that there was, like, as much, like, just, like, laying on top of him as, like, maybe, like, with Cormier and Silva was.
Yeah.
Like, Brock was throwing the blows.
Uh-huh.
It's just Hunt was covering up.
Yes.
But it was a great fight. I lost my parlay on the main event. Miesha Tate got her face smashed in by Amanda Nunes.
I was shocked because I was like,
dude,
whoa.
That was double bad for Miesha. And I love Cupcake, and I hope she bounces back and gets her title back. But you cost me some money, Miesha. But that was double bad for her because she got her nose broken, and she got tapped out. So it's like, she didn't even get, like, you got, like, all bad.
Yeah.
Just wrecked.
What does that say, though, about the women's title? It's like a hot potato right now. It's changed hands four times in, like, the last, couple years now.
Holly Holm beat Ronda for it, then Miesha beat Holly, and now Amanda has beaten Miesha for it. So it's getting hot-shotted around there, but, I mean, Ronda will come back and take it back, probably. But I love Miesha Tate, so I'm hoping she comes back strong, and you know, I hope she gets another run with it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, me too.
Friend of the show, Misha Tate.
She is?
Yeah.
Oh, you talked to her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Love Misha.
Oh, no, that's good. I love me some cupcake. No, but okay.
My boy Super Sage Northcutt won on the prelims as well. Great job, Super Sage. Guy looks like Guile.
Kane. Oh, yeah. And Kane.
Yes, Kane Velasquez, also a friend of the show. He dominated his fight. I thought his was one of the best fights of the night.
Oh, yes.
He kicked the crap out of a boyfriend of Ronda.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got to give kudos to the guys in front of us who were definitely cheering
on Kane.
Yeah,
the listeners that were wrestling fans, too. It was great.
Yes. Definitely with the Paul Bear drops.
Yes.
So, no, but just one last thing, just about the whole Brock thing. Do you think what happened is good or bad for the WWE?
Oh, it's great. It's great. It's great for UFC. It's great for WWE. It's best for Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
Because it just makes him even more a commodity to both entities.
How do you think SummerSlam now is going to play out with his match against Randy Orton?
I think he was going to win either way.
I think he was going to win either way as well. But I think if he would have lost at UFC, he would have just gone into SummerSlam and just manhandled Randy Orton. Now I think it's going to be a little more even. You know, I think it's going to be a little more back and forth and stuff like that. I think Randy Orton has... they're going to set up Randy Orton has probably a good shot.
I guess it would be a big feather in the cap of Randy Orton to beat Brock at SummerSlam. Yeah. I don't really see that happen. I think they're going to keep Brock as like this unbeatable attraction.
Yeah.
So
well, the reason I'm asking about the Brock thing also is I have a feeling, I don't know if he really, you think he has a shot at winning the title though? I mean, sorry, the UFC title.
Yes. I think if he recommits to UFC, which I hope he does, because it was, you know, like I don't want to go off too much on a tangent here, but Brock Lesnar had his prime, the prime years of his UFC career taken from him because he almost died.
Yeah.
He had that bout with diverticulitis, which he had to have a good portion of his intestines removed. Like he was struggling to live everyday life while still trying to defend his UFC heavyweight championship. And I love Cain Velasquez. Cain Velasquez beat a shell of Brock Lesnar. He did not beat the real Brock Lesnar. Now time catches up to everyone.
Yes.
But Brock still looks good. And for him to be able to reopen the door on a career that was robbed from him at the height of it, when he was just really starting to find his groove, Brock was unbeatable when he was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only time healthy Brock Lesnar lost in the UFC is when he made a mistake and got caught with a submission hold after he was beating the guy down. I think it was Frank Mir. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was. And he avenged that loss at UFC 100. Mm-hmm. But so I am very happy for Brock to see, one, even if this is his last fight, that like he said, he can sit on his tractor and not have to wonder what if. You know, he got his peace of mind back. I think he wants more. He's a competitor. I think he loves that thrill of the real fight.
Well, he loves to fight. I will agree with that.
Yeah.
I just wonder if he could take on like the top three guys in the
I
weight.
Think he did this on 5 weeks training. He beat a top 10 contender. He's now the number eight ranked heavyweight in UFC. I think absolutely. I would love to see him take on the champ and win. Now, the heavyweight division, yeah, it's better than it was maybe when he first came in. The heavyweight division is what it is and improving because of Brock Lesnar. The UFC is what it is in large part because Brock Lesnar. He still is their biggest draw in history.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm rooting for him. I am rooting for the biggest Brock comeback. I think it would be great for UFC. He's such a freak athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely. Okay.
He's a great entertainer. He's a great athlete. I love Brock Lesnar. Long live Brock Lesnar. From one white boy to another, we got to stand together, people.
And on that note, well, I guess the next big one for us to, well, that I would be really into is the one September 203 with the debut of CM Punk.
I'm rooting for Mickey Gall.
Oh, come on, man.
CM Punk.
It's going to be
bailed the UFC.
Time.
Brock came back before CM Punk's even had his first fight.
We shall wait and see. We'll see what
CM
happens.
Punk will be coming with his Vince McMahon's just saying right now, I've saved a special place on my ass for you to kiss when you want to come back, CM Punk.
Oh, it's good times. I can't wait for
go Mickey Gall.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But real quick, I want to touch on something that I know is I'm trying to think the right way to say this. A little bit of a sensitive subject for my partner in crime sitting across from me, the one Jimbo. I think we talked about it before briefly on previous episodes. I know you definitely talked about it briefly on a past Best Damn Nerd Show
Extremely.
Episodes. Yes. So this weekend, the hype is finally, the wait is over for the brand new Ghostbusters movie that's coming out in theaters nationwide. And so I had the privilege of seeing it this past Tuesday night. And so I definitely want to do a quick review of it just because, one, that's kind of the trade-off, you know, to go see a movie. But also...
bad trade by you.
Well, Jimbo, okay, in case anyone's tuning in for the first time and wondering, you've definitely have taken a strong stand against this movie in many ways. Yeah. I mean, can you care just to explain why you feel so strongly as you do?
I've taken actually a vow of silence about this fake Ghostbusters that came out. This unoriginal Hollywood abomination.
Yes.
This just absolutely phoned it. Oh, sorry.
come on.
Yeah, just crap. But go ahead, review. I've taken a vow of silence.
What? Is this because you just want your stuff from your childhood to stay as is and just why you need to reboot stuff?
It's just, I could talk on and on, but again, okay. Vow of silence. Okay. It's an insult as a fan of Ghostbusters. It's an insult, and it's just... As the angry video game nerd and now turned movie reviewer pointed out, they're not even trying. They're just trying to cash in on the Ghostbusters name.
Yes. OK.
And that's all it is. And so, you know.
OK, well, I have some notes here and I guess this is going to be kind of a one side review since Jimbo refuses to kind of bounce off me and work with me.
Even, wow.
I'm just
willing to work with you.
Well, you took it. You're taking a vow.
Not willing to work with that trash.
Okay. All right. Well, he didn't want to go to the review.
Garbage.
The screening.
No, never.
With me.
I will never watch it.
Okay. I will
never.
Say this. Okay. Whatever I say, you can just, you know, nod your head. Give me a mm-hmm. Is that, I don't know. Is that count talking? I don't know. But anyway, I'm just saying. So,
I'm not very good with vows of silences. So
I know. Yeah, I can see. So just play, roll with me here. So for me, personally, going into this movie, I had extreme low expectations. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you leaving? Don't leave right now. Oh, my God. Can I keep going? You turn your mic off. Why you turn your mic off? Oh, man, I'm really writing this solo right now. You're wow. Wow.
That's my wow.
Okay. So for I'm going to stare at you, Jimbo, since I need to kind of just look at your facial reaction just to kind of bounce off it. But yeah, so going into this, I had very low expectations because as I think the entire internet knows, those two trailers they released were horrible, and I think
the most disliked trailer in the history of YouTube for those keeping score at home.
Yep, yep, and that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, it was the most disliked video out there. So for me, I had low expectations. And here's the other thing, and just kind of going off what Jimbo just said, is for me, growing up, a kid born in the 80s, Ghostbusters was like the first major like franchise, pop culture franchise. Is that, I don't know, is that the correct way to kind of describe it? That I got into something that I was old enough to kind of just process and remember and get into and be a fan of. That was like the first thing. And then after that was like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
This movie is so bad that it's ruined Huey's ability to speak.
I know. But the Ninja Turtles.
Consider that. Consider the children.
So Ninja Turtles was like the next thing. And then the X-Men animated series, Spider-Man, all that stuff. But so Ghostbusters for me was like the first thing I got into as a kid. So that's why I've always had a special place in my heart with the cartoons, the real Ghostbusters cartoon, and the movies itself. So it definitely holds a high place in my heart. So I too did not like the idea of them rebooting this because I feel like there's so many other things you can do. Why go back on touch on something that's already, I think, the gold standard of just fun movie making. But anyway, so I will admit, after seeing the movie, it was better than what I thought. It was better than, like I said, I had a gem on your face. Oh my God. So going into it, it was better than I expected, but still, it was still has its flaws. It was not a perfect movie. There was a lot of problems with it. So there were some entertaining parts. I thought three out of the four women actresses in this were really good, that being Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, and Leslie Jones. I thought three of them were really good working with each other. Kate McKinnon, I think that's how you say it, Kate McKinnon. She's also on Saturday Night Live.
I could tell you how to pronounce it, but I won't.
Okay. She was horrible. I could not stand her. Honestly, when I watched her, she reminded me, the way she looked with her blonde hair, she reminded me of Egon from the Real Ghostbusters cartoon.
It's a great cartoon.
Yeah, but if you look at her, do a side-by-side comparison, she looks just like Egon from the cartoon. I was like, this has to be a joke. But I think, so the problem with that was the first like 30, 45 minutes of the movie, I thought was solid. It was really fun, entertaining. The problem though with Kate's character, I felt like she was acting like she was in a different. Are you texting?
Playing Pokemon Go.
Oh my god, no, you're not. Oh geez, okay. I'm gonna try to hurry up and get through this then. But the problem with that with Kate's character, I thought she was acting like a different character in a whole different movie. She was too much like a cartoon character, acting way too much goofy. Every scene she was in, she either had to crack a joke or make some stupid face. And so it just got very tiring to watch her. I will admit, though, Chris Hemsworth, I thought he was pretty funny. I thought he had some great comedic timing, even though I thought his character was way too dumb. Like, everything he did was, like, totally, like, a stupid thing. He was, like, seriously, like, a big baby kid. And I don't know. It got annoying after a while, him as well. Like, he couldn't do anything right. And then, there was a ton of cameos in this movie, if you could believe that, just because of the previous Ghostbuster franchise. So there was a lot of cameos of everyone who was in the previous movies. Some of them were, some of them, it looked like it was just forced in there just to get them in the movie. The thing that what annoyed me about these characters was that these characters had no depth to them. It was a lot more gag and goofy jokes, and that the story didn't have enough substance. I felt like it was like way too many jokes, and it was hard to kind of follow the movie. It was just kind of like beating your face. Here's another joke. Here's another joke. Oh my God, here's a crazy stunt right here and this and that. So that's what made it tough. I thought there were some good laughs, and then there were some scary scenes as well. So definitely, of course, it's ghosts in there. But I just thought these characters got more depth out of them. If I did have to give it a rating, I would probably give it like a 6 out of 10, maybe at best. Ah! At best, maybe 5.5. I'm just that's
wow,
wow. But no, okay. Here, I'll quickly let me just run off some pros and cons. So the cons, like I mentioned earlier, I thought Kate's character, she was just way too cartoony and it just was just annoying. She was just, I couldn't take her seriously. It just took me out of the movie watching her. I thought the villain was horrible. It was just some nerdy guy they threw in there who just wanted to take out the city. It was just, I mean, sorry if that's a spoiler, but it was some random dude. There was no connection to him, no depth as well. What was annoying, Ghostbusters is supposed to take place in New York City. This did not look like it was in New York City. It looked like, I believe the movie was filmed in Boston, and you could tell it was not New York City. So as from a landscape perspective, it was like, okay, they were saying, oh, this is Times Square. I was like, this is not Times Square. It's downtown Boston. I did not enjoy how all the characters outside the Ghostbusters team were hating on them the whole time and acting like idiots and didn't believe them. So it just was kind of tough to follow like these characters. They're like, everyone in the movie was acting like an a-hole to them. So it was just getting kind of annoying as where there was just no, like, I don't know, characters couldn't really get along with anyone. And then even there was a rock concert in the movie that took place at 4:30 in the afternoon. So I thought, first off, no rock concerts that early in the day. It should have been at nighttime.
Mayhem Festival.
But yeah, it started, it was an all-day festival. Well.
Maybe this movie's not all bad.
Oh my God. So the pros, I did like the beginning. I thought it was a total homage to the original Ghostbusters. Same kind of beat for beat what you expect from the original beginning of the Ghostbusters movie. But it was
Ripping off is a pro.
Yes.
Excellent.
I did enjoy the cameos, even though I thought not
Boo!
All of them
were. They should be ashamed of themselves. Absolutely ashamed.
What, all the ones that
yes.
are alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
They should have honored Harold Ramis' memory by not being in this turd.
His cameo was pretty cool, too. It was quick, but it was cool.
Disrespectful.
I did enjoy the on-screen relationship between Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy. I thought their characters in the movie was good. They were like high school best friend, and so you got to see some connection between them.
Kristen Wiig, yes. Like Melissa McCarthy, you stink. You're terrible and you're a hack.
Yes.
Kristen Wiig, you're really funny and talented, and I expected better from you. I'm not going to say I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I'm both.
Really?
Melissa McCarthy stinks, though. God, what a hack she is.
Oh, my God.
It's just awful.
I mean, okay, I think
never have her on Lamont and Tenelli.
We never had the opportunity.
Yeah. We've had Billy opportunity, I'll put in air quotes.
We've had Billy Gardell, her co-star on the TV show she was
Didn't
on.
Didn't that get canceled?
Yeah, it got canceled.
Waka waka.
Oh, my God. Just a couple of things. I think a lot of families and kids are going to like this because of the bright colors of the ghosts and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
that'll be great because all these kids growing up, when you say, oh, I love the Ghostbusters, they're going to think of this movie instead of the originals.
Unfortunately, I had that thought too. A whole new generation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Marinating that one, everyone that's going to see that.
But like I mentioned earlier, Chris Hemsworth, I thought he had good comedic timing. I like to see him do more comedies down the road, but I thought it was kind of too forced, a lot of his comedic stuff in here. He was like a total like caveman, like a total idiot in the movie.
He's supposed to be eye candy.
Yeah.
So we're turning it on its head, Hollywood. The man's the eye candy. How do you like them apples?
Let me ask you this, Jimbo. So you're against the idea of a reboot completely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I heard some.
I was against the idea of doing a sequel with even the original cast.
Really?
Been way too long. It was gonna stink. It was doomed from the start.
The one that came out in 89?
No. I'm talking about the when they were trying to have the original cast be in the Ghostbusters.
Like make a third one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
I was against that.
Well, I was listening to Kevin Smith's review and he thought that
he loved it.
Yeah, he did.
He loved it? He loved it. Wow! Shocker!
Well,
shocker of all shockers, he loved it.
Well, he
like episode 1, 2, and 3 until popular opinion churned on you.
He enjoyed it, but he enjoyed most of it. So I'll have to send you the review.
I like Kevin Smith, but shocker that he's gonna take the safe side.
But he thought it should have been just a sequel, like continuation from like this is a new generation taking over from where Bill Murray and them left.
That would have been. I mean, it's still a stunk, but at least
this was a complete reboot.
They should have differentiated itself from the Ghostbusters.
Well, this is a complete reboot. All Venkman, Egon, all those guys are not.
They don't exist.
Exist in this world at all.
Marinating that one.
But I let me ask you this. Dan Aykroyd thought that they should start a new Ghostbusters shared universe. So they have the four women as one team and then start another team with four men. And they all exist in the same world. So he's thinking like there's another spinoff down the road, like four guys fighting Ghostbusters as well. I don't know if it'll be in a different city.
Dan, I'm sorry you didn't really do better with money.
I know, he did produce this one.
Terrible idea.
Oh, that's a good point.
Next.
Yeah, so that's Dan Aykroyd's idea. I'm thinking, I don't know, I just...
It's sad that these celebrities don't really know how to manage their financials.
I kind of think maybe it should be just like a diverse team maybe next time. I don't know, maybe men, women, different ages, races, I don't know. I think it was like too much hype that it was like, oh, it's all supposed to be just four women and all that stuff. I don't know. Like overall, it was an okay movie. I'm glad I did not pay for it. It's definitely a movie that here's my problem. If you're a hardcore fan and you grew up on it, you're not going to like this movie no matter what. This movie, there's nothing that this movie did that can make you change your opinion. So going with Jimbo, I know you're not going to like it no matter what. So if you're one of those people,
such an ass.
Just wait for it to come on Netflix.
No, don't watch it.
But
they'll track the illegally pirate it if you must watch it. Illegally pirate it. Do not give it any Netflix clicking or anything.
But no, like I said,
hear me.
But like I said, it does. It's what I like about the original Ghostbusters was they were four regular guys who were scientists, but they were the smartest guys in the room. So not only were they smart, but they were witty and just knew how to outsmart everyone. They were just out to do a job. This one, the girls were being way too much cartoony and like it was like hokey and just kind of campy. And it was just like just a lot of jokes forced in your face. And it just it kind of held up. The story did not really develop as much as I wanted to. So but overall, it was an OK movie. So if you want to take your little kids to see
it. Sounds great.
Yes. God damn it. I can't win on this. I knew I was not going to win.
Sorry. Valve silence.
All right. I'm done with that.
Thank God.
God damn it.
We've exorcised the demons.
It's over.
Holy Lord.
God damn it.
What a tire fire that movie is. This is absolute crap. Do me a favor. Never mind.
Okay.
I was going to say something really mean. If you pay money to see that movie, euthanize yourself.
Okay. Well, on that note, can we move on to the next feature? Is that okay with you? I want to get through these fast as I can.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
So let's get into it with other news with the other guys, which is our fun news segment. We just have a fun time talking about just...
Feels good to laugh again.
Yes. Let's kick things up a notch. I feel just Jimbo just stewing over there.
I am. Marinating my own stink.
So I found this goofy story, a survey, as you will. I just kind of run through it.
Survey says.
Yes. Speaking of which, we had Louis Anderson in the studio.
You get jackknifed.
Powerbomb?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Jimbo, here are seven things that freak a woman out in bed. And so if you want to impress a lady in the bedroom, here are seven things you need to retire ASAP. And I'm doing this as a public service for you because...
Doing very fine. Thank you very much.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Easy, big fella.
Okay. Here are seven things that I'll open it up. It's a public service for all our fellow listeners out there, male listeners, guys. Here's some tips that coming from us, you can be a better lover in the bedroom, okay? So here are seven things you need to stop doing if you want to be a better lover. Number one. Or actually, I guess it'll be number seven. Let's work our way down. Number seven.
It's usually a good place to start. Start at the neck and then like kiss you right now.
The daddy talk. What I'm referring to is don't refer to yourself as her daddy at any point.
This list is already bunk. They love it.
Oh, for you? Okay. Number six, falling asleep right after you're completed your lovemaking session.
It's science. Get tired.
Oh, really? Because apparently, based on this study, it shows that you're avoiding commitment and having a conversation.
Oh, place. My good Lord. Some sensitive broad must have written this. Good God. It's science.
Number five.
Get sleepy afterward. It's not you. It's me.
Number five. Dreams that don't involve her. And pretty much to sum it up, no one cares about your dreams. So there's no point in talking about your dreams and stuff with your woman.
Wait, now what do you mean? Like dreams you've had or dreams of like your career?
No, dreams you've had while sleeping.
So just don't talk about your dreams?
Yeah, that's what it said. That's what's said in this report.
What the hell? What does that have to do with anything?
If you had like some weird dream of being naked in a room or something, don't tell her about it. Unless it involves her, there's no point in talking about it. No one cares. That's what this says.
Just a really random thing to include. Like, do people do that a lot? I don't really talk about my dreams.
Me neither. I don't, but I guess
they've all been crushed like ice.
Shattered dreams.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Number four. Busting out the sex toys right away. It says it takes time to build up to the use of using sex toys. You got to build trust with that person. So,
yeah, no kidding. What person? Who are these people that they're giving this advice to?
I don't know. This is just some report I found online. I thought you'd get a kick out of it. Let's see. Number three thing that you need to stop doing is bad hygiene. You need to start practicing the three S's, which is, well, I can't say it, poop, shower, and shave. So, guys, it's obvious. You got to take care of yourself. Clean yourself as much as you can before and after you hook up with a girl. You just got to stay clean because, if you smell like a big turd, it's not going to work out for you.
Yeah,
it's pretty obvious.
Don't smell like Ghostbusters, the movie, the new one.
Number two, being tough or tender. And what I mean is when it comes in the sack, girls like a guy being aggressive and take control and making the first move. Don't just lay there and expect her to do all the work. You got to be the one to put the time in.
Wait, it said be tough and tender?
Or tender.
Oh, be tough
it's
or
like
tender.
It's like being too passive or too overly aggressive.
Oh, so how typical. They want both.
It just depends on the situation, but most times.
But they're not going to tell you. You have to figure it out.
Yes, correct. But most times you're going to be the one to take the lead in the bedroom. That's what you got to do. And number one.
Yeah, we all know how that plays out in court.
Number one. Here's the number one thing you must stop doing in the bedroom ASAP.
Talking about your big Richard, bro. What is it?
Trying for the back door. Which is pretty obvious. You don't want to try to stick it in her pooper right on the first night.
Wait, is this only for the first night? What are you talking about here? What if you're invited?
It's
for the barbecue. It's like, oh, you can just go back in through the back door.
It's a lot of girls are not comfortable with that right away. You got something to work up to. Yes.
Shocking.
Yes.
So, how shocking that they would not be comfortable with that right away.
If you want a full.
Some are, according to the. Never mind.
It's a Tinder. If you want a full breakdown, I'll post a link to this story on our Facebook and Twitter pages so you can read up on it and make notes. Put it in your phone in case you need notes when you go out on your next Tinder date. So, Jimbo, I found a very funny survey. Actually, it's actually more interesting, I would say. Did you know nearly a third of millennials consider bad TV taste a dating deal breaker?
That is interesting.
Yes.
I don't know where I come down on that.
Okay. Well, here's the survey. Apparently, 30% of single millennials have rejected someone solely because of their viewing habits, which is, I can understand, because I think a lot of people, the reason they kind of enjoy each other's company is they can sit next to each other, lay next to each other, and watch a TV together. So if you each have different TV tastes or you want to watch something different, it's going to be kind of hard to spend time with one another. I think that's ultimately what this survey is trying to reveal. So yeah, do you agree with that?
I think you all should go out on like date nights and enjoy the city, play Pokemon Go together. I get that to a certain extent. I think it's cool that when you have certain shows that you share with your significant other, mm-hmm. not like all of them, mm-hmm. like, you know, if you want to watch like House of Cards, if that's your thing, just be sure she doesn't know when you watch ahead.
Speaking from experience.
Yep.
Okay.
And, but yeah, I don't think necessarily all of them. Like, I've had girlfriends that, like, you know, like, man, I don't care. If you want your Sundays to be devoted to Downton Abbey, go nuts. I will not watch that. I will not watch Mad Men. No. Like, if that's your thing, fine. But do not bring me down your rabbit hole of making me one of the gals with those shows. I'm not going to do it.
So,
and I will watch wrestling, and I don't expect my future significant other to want to watch wrestling with me. Now, it would be hot as balls if she did want to watch wrestling with me and like was super into it. That'd be awesome. Ladies, take note. Any friggin' hot ass wrestling fans out there. But yeah, maybe. Yeah, that would be cool, but I would not expect it.
Okay.
Where do you come down on it, though?
I think it's nice if you guys have a common interest on like the majority of stuff. But yeah, there's going to be times where you're both not going
to
agree.
Yeah, it's good to, you know, have some like time apart, you know, like some's for you. Maybe you watch with your buddies, you know?
Yeah. Or one can watch in the living room. The other one can watch in the living or in the bedroom. I mean,
yeah,
but I think it's nice to have a general consensus. Yeah. Consensus is the right word. But, I'm just saying like, if you don't want or agree on any TV watching, then it's going to suck.
If you don't agree on any TV watching, you probably have very different tastes just in general in life.
And you're probably
some issues there that are going to stem beyond that.
Exactly. So,
but man, if you're like a really just bad bitch that loves watching Lucha Underground, just give me a call. Just email us. What's our email account?
It is otherguyspodcast@gmail.com.
If you're hot as hell and you watch Lucha Underground, hit me up.
Okay. So I think we're both on the same
page.
Expect
them to be pouring in.
Yes. We should start a hashtag for you.
Hashtag Lucha Ladies.
Yeah, I like that.
Ladies.
Jimbo, well, speaking of TV watching, and are you a subscriber of Netflix?
I am a subscriber of Netflix, longtime subscriber.
Okay, that's good to know. Have you at any point ever lend out your username and password to someone?
Ha! Yes, I have.
Really?
I have somebody that maybe shares my account with me, in fact, on a regular basis.
You know you're now committing a federal crime.
Oh, I do know that, actually.
You heard about this?
Yeah, I think I'm covered, though. Because okay. I haven't shared it recently before this was a law.
Okay.
So I think ex post facto covers me. I will not change my password. I will not do it. Constitutionally, I think I'm covered.
Okay. Well, so apparently 42% of subscribers say they share their password with family members. And this is interesting because last week there was a court ruling that using someone else's password to access online services like a Netflix or HBO Go or any type of those apps without the authorization of the system's owner is considered a violation of the federal computer law. So that's very interesting that this new rule.
Thanks, Hillary.
But that's so
I'm just getting my practice in for January. Sorry.
So just getting, I mean, I'm just kind of reading between the lines. So if I give you my password and say it's okay to use it, you're fine. But if you take my password without me knowing it?
No.
That's what I'm kind of confused about this whole thing.
No, it's only fine if like Netflix says it's okay to share it.
Oh, okay. So the
entity, yeah. So like
says
Netflix,
okay.
Yeah. So if like you get like written consent, like say like there's like a streaming service for like NBA games,
yeah,
and like you get permission from NBA League Pass to share it with a certain amount of coworkers because you need it for work. That's different.
So since Tommy uses my Netflix at home, that's technically illegal.
You're going to jail right now, bro. I'm calling 911.
Oh my God. But, and apparently there's also, just pass as well. You cannot log on to someone's Facebook even if they gave you, the password for it.
What?
I don't know. I read that too. I was like, what?
It's all stupid. Don't these people have better things to pass?
Use our tax dollars.
Are people like getting like killed out there?
Yes, I know. But to be honest, to break it down, apparently only 4% of subscribers say they actually share their password outside their family. And as I mentioned earlier, only 42%.
There's so many liars out there.
With their family members. So.
What a bunch of liars.
But to be honest, Netflix has said on record that this doesn't really impact them too. They're not too concerned about this. With them, it's okay to share the password because most times people that share their account with someone else, that person eventually will get their own subscription. So in their minds, they're thinking, okay, it's like teasing them, you know, showing them the product, and then eventually that person will subscribe to it. Kind of like how you and I were with the WWE Network.
I never let you use my WWE Network. Well, I would never do that. I encourage you to support the product that you say you like. Instead, you go see Ghostbusters.
You like my Ghostbusters shirt?
You saw Ghostbusters right away, but it took you over a year to subscribe to the WWE Network. That's where your priorities are.
Well, because I want to have an excuse to come over to your apartment and watch it
with you. Well, you can still do that, but, you know, when it's like NXT night and everything, like, you know, you could be helping WWE. You know, Vince McMahon was not a billionaire for a hot minute, and it's your fault.
I know. He was a 999.
Yeah, he was waiting. He was waiting for your 999 to put him back over the top, and you were just being such a turd about it.
Oh, my God.
Well, but no, I think that's dumb. Like, what? Like,
yeah, I mean,
what's the enforcement for that?
It didn't really say. There's no way, like, how can you track this? Like,
just stay away from the internet, old people.
I know.
That's our domain. Look, that's our hood.
Jimbo, what would you say is your favorite fast food joint is?
That would be the Great Chick-fil-A.
Has there ever been a time...
Subset Taco Bell.
Has there ever been a time that you got so mad with an order that you wanted to cause a disturbance inside the restaurant?
What? Mad with an order from Chick-fil-A? Never. Okay. Ever. Not even the slightest. The opposite. I've been so euphoric about my orders from Chick-fil-A that I wanted to, like, you know, I don't know, like personally shake hands with the people making the food in the back.
Well, the reason I brought this up is apparently there's some guy in Florida who got so mad.
Florida.
Yeah, I know, Florida. Got so mad with his Taco Bell order that he had to be tasered 3 times by the police.
Well, if he wasn't crapping his pants before, certainly after that.
So I guess apparently he came in there one morning and he got some breakfast. And he, for some reason, he got mad and started throwing it at the employees. Oh. And yelling at some little kid.
They're newer to the breakfast menu, so maybe they're still working out some kinks.
So, this guy set the new standard for worst Taco Bell temper tantrum. So, he threw the food at them. He started yelling at people. And then he got zapped by the cops when they came. But he ran running off, and they zapped him. So, he got zapped 3 times. So, when the cops came, they found him across the street at another business. So, he was yelling
at them. Use their restroom.
Yelling at them. So he took a swing at the officers. He got tasered. He stood up and charged at them one more time. He got tasered a second time. And then he tried kicking an officer in the knee, and he got tasered for a third time. And they finally went down after that. It didn't really say what this guy's issue was. I don't know. It sounds like he was just a little cuckoo. Because I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if I had some Taco Bell in my belly, I'd be nice and happy. So that's why I'm just
absolutely.
Yeah. I don't get why this guy would be so upset. But I was just wondering, if there's ever been a time where you were so mad with your order that you had to throw a fight at someone.
No. Those are happy establishments.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, if you were like Ghostbusters at the theater and you started throwing a tantrum, that I understand. That I fully support.
Yes. One last story here. You know how people like to tell you, you know, start acting your age or you got to start growing up. What age were you when you started hearing that? You still do?
I think I've heard it more over the last 5 years than I ever heard it earlier. I was a very mature, a young person and with Through the Best Damn Nerd Show, embracing my youth, I think. I've been hearing a lot lately with the whole Pokemon Go thing.
Okay.
People telling me grow up. Yeah. People that don't get it, that I think know. Like it's just should be for kids.
Well, I will say this in your defense, those people are wrong because it turns out the actual age, this is apparently a new study.
By who?
Some British company revealed that the age that you should officially start growing up is 38 years old. So you and I, Jim, but we still got time to act like kids.
Absolutely.
So it's okay for you to play
your Pokemon. Go out and make some mistakes.
Pokemon Go. So apparently age 38 is the time to start ditching your tattoos and piercings and start moderating your alcohol consumption in public.
Oh, no. I don't like this study. I don't like this study because it gives us less ammunition to fire at Joe. I'm questioning the validity of this study. Who did this?
Some Brit scientist. They surveyed 2,000 Brits, and that guys should stop wearing their trainers when they're 49 years old. Women should lower their hemline at 39. I guess because apparently, like, a lot of these people just still want to act young, as even though they get older. But
Encourage them to do that.
It says women should stop wearing bikinis at 46. And people should stop going to festivals at age 45 and stop wearing skinny jeans at 47 years old. Get off social media by age 47.
I agree with that.
And 44 years old is the cutoff age for going to discos. We just call them clubs out here.
Yeah, I like disco, though. It's a better word.
Discotheque. But anyway, so Jimbo, you and I, we still have quite a few years ahead of us to start partying.
According to this, I don't agree with this study.
Okay, that's fine.
Because, again, it gives us less in the chamber.
Against
our boy Joe.
We'll tell him that.
He can roll in here with impunity.
Oh, man.
Why didn't you come in? I was hungover, but it's okay because I got till 38, bitches.
He's got 10 years to keep going.
Good Lord.
Oh, my God. He's going to be dead by the time he's 38.
Got to make sure he doesn't hear this part.
I know.
He'll be unstoppable.
Don't worry. He won't listen.
It's true.
Okay.
I stole his computer so he couldn't.
When he left
the door was unlocked. I just took it.
Oh, my God. Oh. All right. So, Jimbo, one last thing for today. It's we'll quickly get through this. Our holy crap reports, our rock and entertainment news. And I got a couple of stories here. First off, so Guns N' Roses tour is well underway. They were in Chicago last weekend. And
city.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Huh. You like that city, huh?
Love it. It's my favorite city.
That's true.
Way better than here.
I know. You can take a ball to the face.
I have. Story for another time. Can we continue?
Okay. So apparently a Guns N' Roses fan claimed that the band had her Where's Izzy sign taken away at a concert. So apparently she was at a show and she had her sign that said Where's Izzy. I guess isn't that kind of like trolling a little bit?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a wrestling fan. Yeah, it's like a wrestling fan holding up a negative sign. But apparently she was there and someone came up to her and asked her, please get rid of the sign. So she assumed that the band had her do it. But apparently a rep for Guns N' Roses says, no, Izzy's family. We would never do such a thing. So who knows who actually made the call to take the sign down. Have you ever brought a sign to an event of any sort, wrestling event? Or have you? You give me a laugh. When did you bring a sign?
Oh, boy, Huey. She should run this by. This is a whole story.
Wow.
So you're asking if I've ever had a sign taken away?
Yeah. Or, okay. Have you ever taken a sign to an event? And then two part, have you ever had it taken away from you?
Yes to both. I've taken many a sign to many events, WWE, baseball. Like when I went to see Frank Thomas get his number retired, I had a sign there. It said the house that Hurt built because I was in Chicago's.
Okay.
But. The most notable sign, I think, of my entire life that I could ever possibly hold was a sign that I made when I was a junior in high school. My AP U.S. history teacher, Danny Powers, was also he wasn't even the head coach of the team at the time. He was an assistant coach for the basketball team. And we loved Mr. Powers. Mr. Powers is a legend. He's a very young guy. It was his first year, so we were his first class. And I love Mr. Powers. Like, I went to his wedding. Like, he had a very profound effect on me. Anyway, he's assistant coach of this basketball team. So we were kind of joking with him about how good he was at basketball, like, growing up. And I was like, dude, I was like, what was your nickname? Were you, like, the Anglo-Saxon assassin? Or were you, like, Danny the Beast? Like, what was your... So I made this sign. It said, Danny Powers, the Anglo-Saxon assassin. And this is where Jimbo fell victim to the PC police. So anyway, I took it all my entire junior year. I took this sign like to root on the assistant coach of the basketball team. And we would get, let's go Powers, chants going. Like it was good fun. We're a small high school and stuff like that. Like it was all good fun to the point where after the season, he hung it up in his room above his desk. Cause like, You know, like,
he was proud of it?
Yeah, he was, okay. It was okay. Funny. Like, okay. Everyone loved it. It was like people thought it was hysterical. Everybody loved it. Senior year rolls around. It's basketball season again. Danny, we got to take the sign down.
Is that what you do? You would reuse it?
Yeah, so we brought it down, and because the sun beating down on it, it had faded. The head coach of the basketball team came out and he was like, hey, you got to go over it with red marker again. We can hardly see it out
there. Even the head coach was encouraging you.
Yeah, so very small town. So I did. We were playing a rival high school, but we were playing another high school that night, and some people that took the sign the wrong way, took the sign that, in sports, you know, terms like assassin and stuff like that, like, are you, like, Steph Curry, the baby-faced assassin, all these things. Like,
your nickname around here is the baby-faced assassin.
In actual definition, an assassin is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
But in the context of sports, it's fine.
Yes.
You have teams, the Trojans, the Spartans, all these warrior classes that really you probably wouldn't want to be associated with necessarily, but works in the context of sports. Danny Powers is an Anglo-Saxon person. It's a funny term. It is not a racial term.
Yeah.
It's certainly not a racially prejudiced term.
Yeah.
But these people at this school assume that my sign, Danny Powers, the Anglo-Saxon assassin, they took it to mean that my sign was encouraging the assassination of black people. I kid you not.
At this rival school.
It's not even the rival school. It's just another school. And young Bimbo Jimbo, who is the goody two shoes of all goody two shoes, was publicly de-signed. I was livid. I was furious. I felt betrayed by the faculty. I felt betrayed by everyone that didn't stand up for me.
Was this the second year of you using this sign?
Okay. After the person who took the sign from me was the wife of the head coach of the basketball team that had just told me to go over it in red marker.
Wait, the wife of the head coach?
She was a teacher at the school also. Again, very small town.
She told
me. And I love her to death. It was a misstep on her part. So they took the sign from me. It became this whole thing. And like, I had to go talk to the vice principal and the principal, and I would not be moved on this. I was unapologetic. And she's like, I called this school and I apologize. I said, I wish you hadn't have done that because I'm not sorry. Don't put words in my mouth. I have no apology to offer them other than they should read a dictionary and learn what the words mean, because I said nothing wrong. The sign was not offensive. This is the whole thing. I would love Pecan to be here for this story, because this was my first brush with the PC Nazism that sometimes takes over this country. Get a life and learn to read. Woo!
Real quick. So
I got it back, by the way. I got the sign back. It was my property.
Was this your home court that you were at?
Yes.
So the visiting team who traveled in was the one who complained.
Yes, they complained, and they, like, I guess had a representative that somebody was part of the local chapter of the NAACP or something like that. It was ludicrous to think this was some sort of a racially motivated sign. So, absolutely ludicrous. And guess what? If you're listening out there right now and you do think so, euthanize yourself. So two euthanizations going down.
So when they complained, who complained? Was it the opposing head coach? Or
welling up all these old emotions.
Let it out, Jimbo.
It's been a while. This is a big deal to me in senior year.
Was this the head coach of the opposing team?
No.
Who complained?
No, it's just somebody in the crowd.
Oh, somebody in the crowd? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I've had parents.
Bet you weren't expecting that story, Huey.
No, not at all, but I love it. But I mean, I just, if you're the opposing team, you travel to someone else's court, you just keep your mouth shut.
Well, I mean, what if it was like my whole thing, like if it was seriously a racist sign, absolutely. That has no place in high school sports or any sporting venue or anywhere. But it wasn't. And it's because you don't get it. You jump to the conclusion that it's a racially motivated thing. Like, take a moment to learn and shut the hell up.
Wow. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Like, sit at the learning tree of Bimbo Jimbo while I slap you across the face with a branch of education.
Wow. I'm trying to remember if I've ever had a sign taken away from me.
Ugh, I remember being angry all over again. It's a very angry Bimbo Jimbo episode. I'm sorry. Good Lord. Feel my heart rate.
You gotta find you a lady that loves Lucha.
Getting there.
Oh,
The emails are pouring in.
You're checking
the hashtag is very engaging on social media.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I'm sorry to have taken us down on this crazy trail.
That's fine. I love it. I mean, that's
a wild ride with Bimbo Jimbo. My stories. I actually had not thought of that in years.
Can you share this podcast with everyone back home?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I share with Danny. He's got a few kids. I went to his wedding, for crying out loud.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess. Okay. Yeah. I was close with one of my high school basketball coaches.
He's like my Feeny, like a young, really cool Feeny. I also had an older Feeny too. I got along with all my teachers.
Boy Meets World?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I had a couple like that.
Maybe he's more like Mr. Turner, and Mr. Motzi was Mr. Feeny. Yeah, I think I'm going with that.
Well, Turner is the
young motorcycle one.
Yeah, that took care of his best friend.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Sean Hunter.
Yes. Do you watch Girl Meets World at all?
No, I'm so happy it exists, though.
Yeah.
I think it's great for parents today to be able to share that with their children.
Okay, so you like that, but not Ghostbusters.
It's different. It's a new show. It's building off of the old show, logically.
Yeah.
Corey and Topanga are parents now.
And he's a teacher and
all
that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's giving back to the younger generation
in a
way that also that doesn't force a nod to what happened before.
Family values.
It's very natural. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
It's a good show. It's pretty funny. I've watched a few episodes from time to time. But okay, well, on that note, I'll have one last story here. Wow, Jimbo, you're steaming.
I just hadn't thought about that for. I'm very. You can delete this from the podcast.
I keep this. This is great. Okay. Well. No, this is awesome. So,
I'm not a racist.
No, you're not. I know you're not.
Yeah.
I know.
God, I was so angry. I will say this is the last adjunct to the story. One of my best friends at home, his dad is one of the most respected men in the entire community. He's a teacher, is beloved. He's a black guy. So I go to my friend's house, and like my friend Jared is like backing me up to the hill. He's like, this is ridiculous, like for them to assume that like this is like da 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 and like everything. I was like, yeah, like it's like my reputation again is one of the few things that I have. So like it angered me to have this happen. So I walk in, and it sort of just put a bow on the whole story. My friend's dad he walks in the kitchen, he looks at me, he's like, so James, I hear you're a white supremacist, and I just started rolling with laughter. So like totally diffused the whole thing.
Oh, very
yeah.
Good times. Oh, man. If anyone knows you, you know that you're far from that.
Anyone that listened to this story, if you think the sign is racist, just pick up a dictionary. Okay. Read it or hit yourself over the head with it until you're unconscious, but do one of the two.
Yes. So another story here, we'll just end on this one. We've talked continuously about AC/DC over the last few months. Just so much has gone on about the band from Bon Scott. I'm sorry, not Bon Scott, Brian Johnson.
They brought him back. Yes. It didn't work out.
Hologram. No, Brian Johnson leaving with hearing issues, Axl Rose coming in, even going back to last year, Phil Rudd, the original drummer who got arrested for all the drugs.
They replaced him with Paul Rudd.
Yeah. That would be pretty funny if they did. They should. If Will Ferrell.
More of a bass player.
That's true, yes. But the big question is, can AC/DC continue after this tour? Will it be Axl Rose? I know Brian Johnson supposedly got these new ear devices, so fingers crossed that he can actually come back and play in the band.
Oh. But after they just left him high and dry.
That's interesting. I wonder if he can, swallow his pride and go back to the band like that. I don't know.
They should have to swallow his Brian Johnson for him, then he can come back.
But then again, AC/DC and Foo Fighters were the top grossing bands last year or this past year on Forbes' list. So if Brian Johnson can get back into that money train, I'm sure he'll do it. So
I hope he invested his money better than Dan Aykroyd.
Yes. So, but the reason I'm bringing up AC/DC once again, the end of AC/DC might be near because bassist Cliff Williams, who's the original bassist, he said, quote, he is going to back off from touring and recording after this tour. And when he says back off, that means he's going to, it sounds like it's a retirement. He's announcing his retirement, which is interesting. So he's been playing with the band for the last 40 years, but he's going to get off from just no more touring, no more recording, which is, yeah, to me, that sounds like, yeah, he's done with the band. It's like, I think that's his way of quietly backing out from being with this band. I'm sure he's probably just tired of all this drama, too, in the last year. There's a lot for a band to deal with, especially their caliber. To me, it's interesting because I know some guys who hate touring, they'll stop touring, but they'll still make albums. Case in point, the Stone Foxes, Shannon's brother, he doesn't want to tour anymore, but he still makes albums with them.
Yeah.
So that's just one example here locally. But anyway, there's a lot of bands that have guys who are still in the band, but they just don't go out. They have just touring musicians for them. So for him to say no more touring and making music, yeah, he's officially done. So if, let's say hypothetically, Brian Johnson doesn't come back, Cliff Williams is now gone, Phil Rudd is gone. They've had Chris Slade on drums, who was a previous drummer during the Thunderstruck tour. So you got, let's see, three. Oh, and then Malcolm Young, he can't play anymore because of his health issues. So you have four core members no longer in the band. It's pretty much Angus Young at this point. So, Jimbo, if Cliff Williams does go away and Brian Johnson doesn't come back, do you think AC/DC should officially just retire?
Absolutely. Okay. They should all they should be retiring. They should they had a great run.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about this with Chasta and Aerosmith and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think I would have almost preferred them to go out maybe after their last album as opposed to trying to hang on and everything. I mean, it's not like they've been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I actually think maybe the most appropriate would have been when Malcolm had to step away. That probably would have been the most appropriate time. Listen, like, guys, the race was run well. You were terrific. You're rock legends. There's nothing left to prove.
Yeah.
And you've done so much for the fans already. It's like, I think that would have been the time to go out with more of their dignity and everything like that.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see what happens next. I think AC/DC is going to go back on the road for a few more dates. And,
that version of AC/DC.
2017 is going to be interesting to see what happens next. I think Angus, from what I heard, I think he still wants to keep going. I don't know. Maybe he should just go out with his own band called Angus Young and Friends or something like that. But I don't know. It could be like Axl Rose with his version of Guns N' Roses from the last 15 years. Who knows what's going to happen? So, only time could tell. So on that note, let's go ahead and wrap up the Holy Crap Report. Wow, Jimbo, just noticing the time. So
sorry about the sign story.
No, it's totally fine. I love it. In all seriousness, hey, not to open up the fourth wall to the listeners, but I always said I wanted this podcast to be about us. And I think we're just interesting people, funny people, entertaining people. We've all had funny stories.
Angry people.
Yeah, that our listeners can relate to. And that's why I want to do this podcast. I think that's why people tune in. They're fans of this station and fans of us. So, especially you. I know you have a lot of funny stories.
Apparently. I hadn't even thought about that one in a long time. You opened up the vault.
I know. That's good. But so we'll skip on emails today. It's just because we're running out of time. But if you want to email us, if you have a question, we can get back.
If you're a hashtag Lucha Lady.
Exactly. If you'd like any therapy advice type questions from us, email us anytime. OtherGuysPodcast@gmail.com. Also, just whatever you want. If you want just a shout out, if you have a question for us, anything. So please email us anytime. Don't hesitate. We love hearing from you guys. So on that note, let's go ahead and wrap things up for this week's episode of The Other Guys Podcast. Jimbo, anything you want to plug, promote?
At Bimbo Jimbo on Bimbo.Jimbo on Instagram?
Bimbo.
Yes. Yeah, geez, Louise.
I know it. I'm always tagging you.
Yeah, that's true. At Bimbo.Jimbo on Instagram. Check out the Best Damn Nerd Show on Facebook and Twitter and everything like that, because we are going to Comic-Con next week. So we're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff down there for the Best Damn Nerd Show and the newly debuting soonish Lucha Lowdown. Please follow all of that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Some possibly very interesting interview opportunities that we might be afforded while we are down there. That's pretty much it. And read a dictionary if you were negatively affected by my sign story.
So with Comic-Con, so with
Webster, that's what I'd like to plug promote. Webster's Dictionary, people.
What about
sons of bitches?
What about Merriam? Or is that the same?
I think it's the same one, Merriam-Webster.
Yes, that's right. So with Comic-Con next week, we're going to take next week off just because... Jimbo's not going to be here and everyone else is going to be gone. It's just going to be me. So I'm
going to be you all alone, Huey. All alone.
I could do another Ghostbusters review at that point.
You probably should have. I'm sorry I ruined yours.
I know.
Sorry I spoiled your Ghostbusters party. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all.
No. So, Bruce, real quick, I just, so you're saying just follow on social media and you guys will document everything as best you can.
Facebook, look up the Best Damn Nerd Show. On Twitter at the BDNS, and everything will be going on there. Maybe I'll even boot up our defunct Instagram again. God, I don't think I've used that since Comic-Con 2 years ago.
So how long you've been? It's been 2 years since you've been down there.
Yeah, making my glorious return to the Con of Cons. So, it calls to me like a siren song, baby Huey.
Let me ask you this: what are you looking forward to most at Comic-Con?
Oh, That's a great question.
Yes.
Double Dare coming back for one night only is awesome. I love Mark Summers.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to WWE's Mattel panel with the New Day and AJ Styles. It's going to be great. Look, very much so looking forward to that. Certainly won't be booty. So don't you dare be sour. There's so many. I mean, Comic-Con, I'm looking forward to the time spent with my friends, that do the podcast with me down there. They are some of my closest friends. I only see them a couple times a year. And maybe literally the biggest thing that's going to be debuting at Comic-Con is the Captain America statue commemorating 75 years of Captain America. That's going to be awesome. They're having an unveiling for that that I'm going to hopefully be partaking in. And then also the 75th anniversary of Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got confirmation we're going to be doing they're unveiling this life size or whatever size invisible jet of Wonder Woman. So they're like, I don't know if this is all one big like troll photo opportunity thing that DC is sending me, but yeah. So there's gonna be some type of photo op with that Wonder Woman's invisible jet. I think it would be hilarious if it's just nothing, if they just literally unveiled nothing and it's just to like I don't know, but we'll see what happens there. It's gonna be a great time though. I mean, I'm gonna be exhausted by the end of it, but man, it's gonna be fun.
So and then I'm looking forward to. If we have time after you get back and stuff and collect your stuff, get some rest, we'll do like a full recap on the Bone website, whatever you can. I mean, I think that'd be kind of cool. Put it all up on the Bone website just in case you missed it. We have a full recap there. I'm looking forward to hopefully a lot of new trailers and new images of just stuff coming out the next set of Marvel and DC movies. There's rumors going to be a lot of trailers being dropped and stuff. And
my girl Katrina from Lucha Underground will be at Comic-Con. So my number one priority is to find her and propose to her.
And tell her I love her. You're her daddy.
No, well, if she wants me to, her poppy. If she wants, I wait for them to ask.
Okay. please follow Jimbo and all his social media and the BDNS. I know they're going to kill it down there.
At Anglo-Saxon Assassin for my personal Twitter.
You should make one.
I should.
Sons of bitches.
Oh, man. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So I can't wait to see what's going to happen. So, and I'm Baby Huey. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/BabyHueyOfficial. Also Twitter and Instagram at BabyHuey83. And as always, please support this podcast. Listen to it. Share it with everyone you know. We're on at 1077thebone.com, iTunes, and Stitcher. And really, it's just we appreciate all the support. I think that's the big thing. Is this, I listen to a lot of the podcasts and stuff, and it's all about sharing. That's the, was it sharing is caring?
You hippie.
But no, we definitely appreciate the support and we want to expand on our audience and stuff. And I'm rambling at this point. I'm begging people.
I have a lot of feelings.
I'm begging people, please.
He doesn't even go here.
So on that note, have a great rest of the week and weekend, and we'll catch you in the near future. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Other Guys podcast. Be sure to follow the Other Guys on all their social media pages. Facebook.com/TheOtherGuysPodcast. Instagram @TheOtherGuysPodcast. And Twitter @TOGPodcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. And of course, check back to 1077thebone.com for new and previous episodes of The Other Guys Podcast. Audio!